You're listening to the Mech Warriors Heavy Duty Podcast. Here, you will learn...
Oh, wait a minute. That is not Mech Warriors. This is Mech Warriors. This is the Mech Warriors Heavy Duty Podcast. Mech Warriors is the game where you invite your friends over to your house and nuke them. The carnage is awesome. The dark destroyer, let's bury them there. My true vocation, and now my unfortunate friend. You will discover more while you're unable to win. Welcome, Mech Warriors, to episode 6 of the Mech Warriors Heavy Duty Podcast. This episode is going to be part 2 of combat. Don't forget to get the unit reviews and the game report. The game report this time is very special because Ken and I both sat down to the microphone and gave the game report because he and I were the ones that played the game. It was a good game. Some different things happened, so you have to listen to the game report to find out what. Unit reviews they're going to be cool this time. I think you're going to enjoy them. I'm saying that because right now I haven't done them yet. I have no clue what I'm going to review. So I'm assuming that it's going to be good enough for you to like. I'll just have to make it good then, won't I? Either way, in episode 5, I ended it by saying we're taking up at the elevation modifier. And so here we go. The elevation modifier, believe it or not. A flying unit or a unit that is on elevated terrain, which is 1 inch or higher than its attacker, gets a +1 to its defense when it is the target of a ranged attack. This applies in reverse if the flying or elevated unit is the attacking unit. So in that case, the elevated unit would get the +1. Now, a tall mech may not have this elevated modifier if it's attacking a unit on elevated ground, and that unit is not above the mech. A tall mech may be eye-to-eye with a tank on a hill. Players should agree on this, obviously. So look at it, see what's going. Now, when we play full 3D games. Our flying units are on flight stands and are elevated anywhere up to 23 or 24 inches up off the battlefield. I think our flight stands go to 23 inches, actually. So when we have an elevated unit, we actually have an elevated unit. It's way up off the table, and it's easy to determine this is elevated, this is not. If you're playing on 2D terrain, that's going to be a little tricky, but people who have played a lot should be able to figure it out. We actually have had to play games without the flight stands, and so we've had to say this unit is elevated at this height, 6 inches, 10 inches, whatever. So if we attacked it, or if it was attacking something else, we would just measure up and go from that point. But we figured an elevated unit is going to be harder to hit and will have an advantage when attacking. It's kind of a high ground thing. I don't know how real life that is, but this is a game. And it was something that we use, and it has enriched the game for us. Next is attack formations. We took out movement formations, but we did leave in combat formations, attack formations, what we call it. And these are simply 2 or 3 friendly units, all in base contact with each other. 3 being the maximum. And that's just a logistic thing. If you, because of the bonuses involved that I'll get to in a moment, if you have 9 units lined up, that's just really kind of overpowers it. But anyway, one of the units for any given attack, one of the units is declared as the primary attacker. The primary gets a +1 to its attack for each additional unit that's in the formation. So it's a maximum of a +2. There's no damage bonus for formation, and there's no bonus for more than 3 units. The rules that you download will say there is no bonus for more than 4 total units. That is a typo that I am going to have to change. So the bonus is no more than 2, maximum of 3 units. If any of the primary attacks succeed, all other attacks during the same round on the same target made by the other members of the attack formation get a +1 to their attack. All the other attacks are at a +1 is how I should say it. The first one hit and he's got a line on the target, so all the others are able to get a better line. Now you can change the designation of which one is the primary attacker from phase to phase. So you don't have to lock it in. This one is always the primary. You can't do that because if that one goes to salvage, you can't attack, but the other two still can. A towed unit can be a member of an attack formation. However, since units have to be in base contact with each other, flying units cannot be members of attack formations. Next on the page says combat notes and special unit rules. This is actually almost as long as everything I've talked about before. Rotating in place. A unit which rotates in place in order to change facing is considered to have moved. It's a part of your move phase. It does take an order to do that. This unit does suffer its -1 attack modifier because it moved, but it does not get the +1 defense modifier for moving. That's because he's not going anywhere. He's still in the same spot. The pilot is occupied in moving, but the unit's not going anywhere. Now, you can do a rotation, which is an assault order, and we're fixing to cover assault orders in a minute. It would actually be what we consider a half-move assault order. But there is no defense bonus from that. Combination orders are next. A combination order is an order which allows a unit to both move and perform some other action. Now, in most cases, that move is restricted to a half move. You may move half and vent. You may move half and issue a command. You may move half and do something else. There are some exceptions, which I am going to cover in a moment. But generally, if you move and do something, you can only move half. And then you do whatever it is you're doing. And it's considered to be simultaneous. So it's not a matter of moving and then venting. It's moving and venting. So when you get done moving, you're also done venting. It's very handy to do that. We've instituted that after playtesting it. And it really helps. It helps you get your units across the table and get them moved around. The most common combination order that you're going to have is the assault order, where you move and attack. We have expanded assault orders to 3 variants. Yes, it can get a little confusing if you're not used to them. Once you use them in a game, you will find that they are very useful. The first one is the half move assault order. This is when the unit moves up to half of its current speed. Anything below half of its current speed is considered to be the half-move assault order. So if it has a move of 10, if it moves 3 and attacks, that's considered a half-move. You attack at the end of that move. So you would move half, and then you would attack. Still considered to be simultaneous action, but that's where you mark your range from, is the stopping point. You mark your targeting range and everything from that point. The attack, is it a -1? Plus any other modifiers. The -1 is because you are moving. Now, an energy attack will negate that -1. Keep that in mind. The range is calculated from the stopping point, as I said, and there is no extra heat generated in a mech when a mech performs this maneuver. So you can do a half-move assault order, no extra heat. The next one is a full-move assault order. This is where the unit moves more than half of its speed and up to its full speed. So anything over the halfway point. So our example is 10. If he moves 6 or more, then it's considered a full move assault order. The attack actually occurs at the halfway point of the move, not at the stopping point and not at the halfway point of the full speed. the halfway point of the actual move. So if you move 6 inches, at the 3-inch point is where the attack happens. That's where you measure your range from. The attack is at a -2 plus any other modifiers. Again, an energy attack will negate one of those. The range, again, calculated from the halfway point of the move, and again, there is no extra heat generated for doing this. The next one, if you haven't figured it out yet, is a running assault order. This order is only available to mechs or units that can run. We actually do have some infantry units that we allow to run. That'll be covered later. The unit runs more than its listed speed value, up to double of that. So again, the unit has 10 in our example. If he goes 11 to 20, it's a running assault order, and the rules apply. The attack, again, occurs at the halfway point of the actual move. This attack roll is at a -3. Again, energy will negate one of those. Whether or not the attack is a success, a mech performing this will gain one heat, and this is unavoidable heat. Any special equipment that negates heat does not affect it. Nothing will negate this one heat. It will have to be vented in another phase. All three of these assault order attacks may be ranged or close combat. They may be melee attack. However, melee attacks require base contact. So, a melee assault order can only be performed with a half-move assault order, stopping at the point of the attack in base contact with your opponent. Next is anti-aircraft units. A unit with the AA abbreviation in its name on the base is an anti-aircraft unit. You double the printed maximum range when targeting an airborne target. If it's firing a ballistic weapon, yes, I know most of them do. The ones that have energy, I think, are misprints. If you're playing with the errata from WizKids that corrects that, that's fine. Makes no difference. If you're playing with what's printed on the base like we do, you may have some that have energy attacks. You double the listed maximum range. If you're using ballistic and you have your extended ballistic range, because all ballistic ranges are 50% more, that extended range is not what you double. It's double the listed range. For example, your anti-aircraft unit has a 12 range listed. If it's a ballistic weapon, that would actually be an 18 range for normal attacks. But you double the listed range, which is 12. So for attacking an airborne target, his range would only be 24. It would not be 36. An anti-aircraft unit that is attacking an elevated target does not ever suffer the -1 to the attack roll for firing it in an elevated target. However, an anti-aircraft attack on an airborne unit cannot be part of an assault order. The unit must be stationary when he makes this attack. Now comes artillery. A lot of y'all are going to hate this. It's been the subject of much private message debate between me and one other member of the ClassicBattletech.com website or forums. Needless to say, the WizKids players don't really like our artillery rules that much. But we didn't care for the POG system. It didn't work for us. We thought it was kind of silly to announce at the beginning of a turn, "That's where I'm shooting my artillery," when the whole point of artillery is to shoot you from so far away, you don't know what's happening. Yes, I know with current technology, you can foresee these things. We're not taking into account complete and total reality. If we were, we wouldn't be playing on a 36-inch battlefield with artillery. We'd be playing in the school parking lot. Artillery is effective in our game. It doesn't slow the game down very much anymore. We've made some changes so that it's relatively quick. It really can change the way a battle's going if you get some good artillery shots in. So, we do not use the POG or tokens. which WizKids uses. Artillery units are capable of long-range bombardment on the battlefield. A unit is an artillery unit if it has a set of numbers in parentheses printed after its maximum range value on the base. So it will be 0/24(36), close parentheses, something like that. The number in the parentheses is the artillery range value. The artillery range value extends from the end of the normal ballistic to the maximum of the artillery range. All artillery is ballistic. I haven't seen any misprinted, but in that case, we actually would change it from energy to ballistic. Artillery does not benefit from ballistic special equipment. Yes, I know you're going to be throwing things at me, but we've compensated for that. Just be patient. When I'm done with the artillery section, then you can throw things at me. Artillery does benefit from the ballistic extended range rule. So an artillery listing that says 24 can reach out another 12 of 36. I think the Padilla that I reviewed is that way. So for example, if it goes 0 to 18 and then it has 24 in ballistic, then it goes from 0, you have to do the math, 0 to 27, but then 27 to whatever. Do the math, it works out. Remember, way back on episode 1, rule number 1, Clay does not do the math. In order to make an artillery attack, an artillery attack scores damage against everything within the blast radius, friendly vehicles included, friendly mechs included, anything in the blast radius takes the damage. The blast radius is 2 inches for vehicle artillery and 1 inch for infantry artillery. Gives you a 4-inch circle and a 2-inch circle. In order to make an artillery attack, you give a unit a ranged attack order, ranged combat order. The attacker may not be in base contact with an opposing unit. Artillery must be free of opposing base contacts. The line of fire for the artillery attack must go through the front arc, and it must be greater than the maximum ballistic range. So if the maximum ballistic range printed is 12, that's an 18, it's got to be farther than 18 out. And then you select any spot in the battlefield within the range of fire and the line and the front arc. If the line of sight is blocked, you can still make an attack. This is where we have indirect ranged combat. We removed indirect ranged combat from the game with this exception. But the accuracy of the attack will be affected. If, however, the artillery unit is a team member unit, which does have a clear line of sight to the target, then the artillery's line of sight is considered to be clear. So your entire team is a forward spotter. Everyone on your team can be a forward spotter for artillery. Believe me, there are times when you don't have that option and you have to take the two penalty on your attack roll. To target, this is how we target for artillery. You can do it any other way you want, but this way is very effective for us. We all have camera phones. Most of you out there have camera phones. If you don't, you usually will have a digital camera. The person who's going to be doing his targeting tells everybody, turn around, leave the room, go to the bathroom, do whatever. While they're not looking, he takes a picture from several feet above the table of the spot where he's attacking with his artillery. Now, try to keep landmarks in there, because if you landmark on a vehicle, the vehicle moves, you don't know where you're shooting. So find a tree or a rock. If you want to put a penny down and take a picture of the penny, then pull the penny up so that, you know, either way, find some landmarks that are going to stay on the table. So I guess a penny wouldn't work very well. Yeah, forget I said anything about the penny. Find a landmark. That's not always easy, but if you're playing with any real good amount of terrain, you should be able to. We have trees and rocks and stuff all over the place, so finding a landmark for us is rarely difficult. Take a picture of it. First, you take a picture of the unit that's firing, because if you have multiple units, you have to know which is firing at which point. Take a picture of the unit. Take a picture of where it's targeting. Do that for however many shots you've got. Remember, you can fire all your shots in one turn on our game. Then you do it again for the next artillery unit. When you're done, you tell your opponents, they come in. If they have artillery, you have to turn around or go get a snack or go to the bathroom or whatever. When everybody's done, you play your turn. At the end of the turn is when artillery comes in. First, it's fired. Everything happens. Then it hits. So you resolve the attack this way. All artillery attack rolls, all of them, require a roll of 13 or more on the dice. If you do not have a clear line of sight to your target, then you must roll a 15 or more. We didn't see the sense in having a 21 defense on a token and a 6 attack value on the unit. You're guaranteed to never hit what you're trying to hit. So we took that away. Also, you're not attacking a unit. You're attacking the ground. Yes, I know the rules state you can't shoot the ground. That doesn't make any sense. The ground doesn't dodge. So you're shooting at the ground. That's why you take a picture of the battlefield. Ba-ding. Any trees in a blast radius are automatically destroyed and taken off the battlefield. Boulders, rocks, if you're playing with those, it's going to be up to you, decide if they're strong enough or not. We have made a 4-inch paper disc and a 2-inch paper disc, and we hold those, and we set those on a little stand that I made, and we put it in place. And then we just simply eyeball down to see if that disc is covering anything. And we usually say if it covers half or more of a unit, then the unit was hit. If it doesn't cover half, it wasn't hit. But you can look at it. If it's really close, then you can all decide, yeah, it hit or no, it didn't, whichever. And it's just up to the players. So roll a 13 or better. Now, if you roll is that 13 and 15 or 13 and 11? Can't read my own rule book. Boy, seems like math isn't the only thing I don't do well. That's for you, GhostCat. 13 and 15. It's 13 and 15 if you don't have a clear line of sight. The rules aren't very clear on that. I'll have to change that. Vehicle artillery does 2 clicks of damage to everything in the blast radius. Infantry artillery does 1 click of damage to everything. Remember, we took away special equipment. AP, armor piercing, doesn't help. Inferno ammo doesn't help. Nothing helps. Inferno ammo, you're not going to put that on a vehicle either way. But we have some things that have compensated for that, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Artillery attacks are not affected by the elevated modifier. Artillery attacks cannot be the attack portion of an assault order. Artillery attacks cannot target a flying or submerged unit because they don't target units, although they can attack a point that is covered by water terrain. And the artillery damage would then extend to 2 inches or 1 inch down into the water and into the air. So your artillery damage is actually a globe, not a disc. Normally, we don't have any vehicles in the air around the target of an artillery attack, so we haven't had to do that yet. And artillery damage is not counted towards a fusion plant explosion, which causes a nuke, and that will be explained at a later point. Artillery drift. If the attack fails, the target, the round has drifted. The number on the black attack die or your single color attack die determines the drift direction. Now, on the little discs that we cut out, we have this printed on there so we can see it. But I wrote it down in here so you can do it without that. If the number is 1, the drift is in the direction of fire, so 12 o'clock on a clock face. If the number's 2, the drift is at 2 o'clock from the direction of fire. If the number's 3, the drift is 4 o'clock from the direction of fire. If the number is 4, the drift is 6 o'clock from the direction of fire or back towards the artillery unit. If the number is 5, the drift is 8 o'clock from the direction of fire. And if the number is 6, the drift is 10 o'clock from the direction of fire. To determine the distance of the drift, you calculate the amount by which the attack failed. And this is the scale we came up with. If you miss by 1 to 2, the drift is 1 inch. If you miss by 3 to 4, the drift is 2 inches. If you miss by 5 to 6, the drift is 3 inches. And if you miss by 7 or more, the drift is 4 inches. You measure the drift distance from the original coordinates to the new coordinates, and then you set your little disc down, or however you calculate it, and everything in that blast radius is affected. If the round drifts off the battlefield, the artillery attack has no effect. Multiple artillery attacks are possible if the unit has multiple ranged attacks. That's easy. And they can all be on the same unit, same place, or they can be on separate locations. You don't have to have a right there, or you can shoot as long as it's in your front arc and your maximum range, you can shoot anywhere on the table. Now, we have stacking artillery damage. So if you have multiple artillery units striking the same location on the same attack, in other words, they each have 3 attacks, the same attack would be the first one for both of them, or all of them, the second one for all of them, the third one for all of them. Any armor that may be on a unit that is hit by the artillery is only effective against the first attack of the stacked attacks. This is because these first attacks from all the artillery units are considered to hit the unit all at the same time. So if you have 6 artillery shells hitting the same spot, all 6 of them hit at the same time. The armor or 2-point armor can't do that. If they're all 2-point clicks, well, if there's 6 of them, only 1 of them is going to be absorbed. The other 5 won't. Sounds a little confusing until you take down a Mars assault tank with 4 artillery units. You hit him for 8 clicks. He only takes 1 or 2 off with his armor. The rest of it is all absorbed. Now, the separate attacks by different units and multiple attacks by a single unit cannot be stacked because you're firing 1, 2, 3. Well, 1, 2, 3 don't stack. It hits 3 separate times. Therefore, the armor would be effective for each. Or if you have 2 units and the first shot hits of one and the second shot on the other hits, then that's not stacking. And here's how I wrote it up to explain it. Player A and player B both fire multiple artillery attacks at a point where player C has a unit. If the first attacks for each score damage to the unit, only one of those strikes will be affected by armor. If player A's first attack scores and player B's second attack scores, then the armor would apply to each. We have included critical hits and misses with artillery. A critical miss results in 1 damage to the artillery unit. A critical failure results in the artillery unit not being able to fire through the end of the following round. Pretty standard critical rules with our system. If it's a critical hit, it does +1 damage to everything in the blast radius. And if it's a critical success, then the artillery is considered to be armor-piercing. If you roll 3 sixes, you get rewarded for that, and no amount of armor is going to help. It's 3 clicks to everything. 3 clicks because of the original critical hit. All right. Now, command orders. I wrote this up even though they should be kind of clear. So a command is an attack special equipment that may be present on a unit. And here are some notes to keep in mind. A command is an action given to a unit. So the unit which has this special equipment may give a command to another unit, or move up to half its current speed and issue a command, or perform some other action, but not a command. So it can attack or move or something like that. If a unit issues a command, it cannot attack. Defense special equipment will be used, obviously, but it cannot attack and issue command. Commands which are issued to units may occur during different phases. Some of these are kind of fluid. We've kind of changed them and then changed them back. And so this is one of those things where you can determine which works best with your game. But this is how we play it. Event command given to a mech occurs during the move phase simultaneous with any move the unit is making, and that does not make it a combination order. It is a freebie, basically. Or event command can be issued for the post-move phase. A move command occurs during the post-move phase. An attack command occurs during the post-move phase. That means that the unit receiving the command can move or attack, but not until the post-move phase. A restart command may occur during the move phase or the post-move phase, but no other action may be performed in that same phase. So you can't give a unit a restart command in the move phase and then have him move. The stand command for mechs can occur in the move or the post-move. Again, no other action may be performed in the same phase. A capture command is basically an attack command, so it can occur during the attack phase or the post-move phase. Same goes for repair command, effectively an attack. The board or disembark command occurs during the attack phase or the post-move phase. That's pretty much when the attack phase would be when the board and disembark would happen normally. You can command it to happen at that point if you need to for some reason. If disembarking, the units involved are allowed to move their half move after leaving the transport, but they may not receive commands. A shutdown command may occur during the attack phase or the post-move phase and may occur simultaneous to other actions. A battle force with up to 3,000 points may issue only two commands per turn. Battle forces of 3,000 to 4,000 points may issue three commands per turn. Battle forces of 4,000 to 5,000 points may issue four. And battle forces of more than 5,000 points may issue up to five commands. Those are obviously how we play. There's no reason why you can't have as many commands as you have command units on the table. We simply limited that because one of our players has 10 or 15 command units. He can put those out and give everybody two or three turns, you know, give everybody two turns every turn, or give everybody two orders every turn, I should say. And that really would overbalance the game. If you have, everybody has, you know, roughly the same number of command units, you can change all that. That doesn't matter. That's not one of those rules that's based on reality of any kind. Other than the reality that one of our guys has a whole bunch more units than the other players. So that's one of those that if you email me or post it on the forums or something, that doesn't make sense. No, it really doesn't make sense. I agree with you. It's not broken. It's a decent rule, but that's not based on anything logical. So either way. That's the end of combat. I'm actually surprised it went that quickly. End of combat. So enjoy. Download the rules. Remember, have fun. Play fair. Don't cheat. And nuke a friend. The The MechWarriors Heavy Duty Podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. This means you can give the podcast to anyone you want, but you can't make any money off of it, and you can't break up the file. MechWarriors, Battletech, and all related terms are copyright their respective owners. No claim of ownership is made.